This is the Tripartisan Podcast with Ben Swain, James Henderson, and David Staley. Get ready for the latest football and basketball news and opinions on Duke, NC State, and Carolina with our insiders. Now, here's the Tripartisan Podcast.
Welcome back to a brand new week of the Tripartisan Podcast. We are looking forward. We're not looking backwards. We're looking forwards to finally winning some college football games here in the Triangle. I'm Ben Swain, here with James Henderson and Dave Staley. We are going to talk Georgia Tech at North Carolina. We're going to talk Florida State at NC State, and then Duke at Miami. We're going to get three wins this week, guys. How are we feeling about that? Are you guys with me? Are we going to win some games this week?
Absolutely.
Man, we need to.
Somebody's going to win a game. I guarantee one of the three teams wins a game.
We got a guarantee.
Guarantee seems strong, but
let's start in Raleigh because I think they've got the best opportunity to win a game this weekend. James, what in the hell has happened to Florida State? The year that Duke made it to the ACC championship game, I saw a team and a program that I thought would never lose another football game. They were dominant, top of the world. That is outside of the time that I saw Nick Saban's Alabama play in person. That's the best college football team I've seen play in person. And Florida State is god awful now. What has happened to them?
Well, man, I told you guys at the beginning of the year, I said Willie Taggart is known for blowing things up and rebuilding. And really, if you look at his record, he is. He went to Western Kentucky his first year. They went 2-10. His first year at South Florida, they went 2-10. And last year at Oregon, they won seven games that year. But he obviously inherited a program much better in the Pac-12, where they still managed to go 4-5, which is kind of akin to what's going on right now at FSU. I just think he really comes into programs. He's willing to just, I don't know if it's run guys off or sit guys or just, I'm not sure he's really trying to win. And I don't mean that literally, but you understand what I'm saying. When you take over a program and you're implementing new offensive systems or new defensive systems, you may not have guys that fit what you want to do, but and you can say, okay, well, I'm going to still try and win by just doing what we need to do to win. Or you can say, forget it. We're implementing our systems. We're building for the future. And I think that's what they're doing. I mean, he's taking over a program at FSU that under Jimbo Fisher, they were a true pro-style offense, multiple tight ends, a bunch of vertical shots. So they went out and recruited a lot of these big physical wide receivers that could win jump balls and different things like that. Whereas I think Taggart wants to run a true spread. He doesn't really use a lot of tight ends. They want to throw a lot of bubble screens and different things like that. And I'm just not sure the personnel meshes. And then you add in the fact that they've got so many offensive line issues. I just think, I don't know if they're really trying to win. And I think it's showing itself up on the field. And obviously at FSU, you don't want to hear that or see that. But you're right. I mean, that Jameis Winston team, that team was loaded. And just the thing, I don't know, what was that, 5-6 years ago, how far they've fallen. To lose like they did against Clemson this week. Wow. That's really all I can say. Wow.
Do you think that's a good idea? I mean, and I get it. A new coach coming in, and especially one that's so different than Jimbo, and I think Florida State fans to a person felt like there were changes needed in the way that team was playing football. But the bowl streak, right, and the pride around that, and it's Florida State football. The conference is so bad. That team should just be able to throw out that collection of talent and win football games. Is it a good idea that Taggart's out there more concerned with, let's make these changes, let's look to the future, and isn't he running a tremendous risk in losing the opportunity to even fulfill that future?
I think he's running a risk because he's not at Western Kentucky and he's not at South Florida. You know, I mean, they're not going to – I don't think FSU is going to be willing to give you the time those programs will give you. Now, what he's banking on is I think he feels like he's been successful doing it that way. And a lot of times you guys both know coaches are – I mean, well, everybody's stubborn. A lot of people are stubborn, but coaches are really stubborn. And if he's had success doing things a certain way – I think that they try to duplicate that or replicate that wherever they go. So if you look at him at Western Kentucky, his first year they went 2-10. He follows it up the next year going 7-1 in the conference and winning seven games. You know, at South Florida, he started out 2-10. Then he ends up going – he ends up winning 4, then 8, then 10. And so he had kind of – his resume and his reputation's been built on going to places and showing you can build it your way and showing, you know, consistent progress. And oftentimes I think to have consistent progress, you need to come in and kind of establish a floor, set a floor – or set a foundation. And a lot of times I think these coaches, what they do is they hide it behind, I'm putting in what we want to do. I'm running off guys that we don't think fit how we want to play. And you kind of lose that first year to really, I think, establish a floor. Whereas if, you know, they go out this year and they win 5 games and you come back next year and you win 9, wow, they're on the right track. They're on the rise. All these things right here. And I think that's kind of what he's banking it on, and more than anything else, because maybe he just doesn't think that they're really going to compete to the level that FSU wants to anyways this year. Because you're right, I think they could go out and say, let's win 6 or 7 and keep this bowl game, this bowl streak going. And they do have 4 wins, but are you really going to compete with Clemson right now? And when you look at that team, I mean, I still think they're so flawed up front with their offensive line that really probably any system you run, you're going to have struggles to win a lot of games. And so he may have just made that decision to kind of stay with what's worked for him.
Then another game that we've got this weekend is North Carolina, Georgia Tech. Obviously, Paul Johnson has been there for one of the longest tenures in the ACC right now. Still a little bit on the hot seat. I think he might have saved it the last couple weeks with some positive results. He has traditionally put up a ton of points on North Carolina. What's the feeling about that game, Dave?
I don't think you would call it confidence, but you know, I guess at some level, I mean, I think there's some, I don't know if excitement is the right word, but maybe just relief or some level of excitement that, you know, the Georgia Tech game is on November 3rd. It will be Carolina's third home game of the season at that point. Wow. We end the year 3 out of 4 at home. We got Georgia Tech, Western, and then State. So our only road game left is the Duke game. And so, I mean, at some level you look at it and you say, okay, well, we got this 4-game stretch. Let's try to do something with it, right? Oh, to steal Florida State's motto for the season, do something.
Do something. Hashtag do something.
So, from that standpoint, I think that's just – I don't know, that maybe that's just a storyline that the team can tell themselves or that people can use and say, all right, let's end the season on a 3 out of 4 game homestand and actually, you know, get some wins. Now, I mean, you make a good point. Georgia Tech, I mean, I was there. I don't remember what year it was. I guess it was 2012, probably the year that it was like 68-51 or 50. I don't know. It was 60-something to 50-something. Georgia Tech beat us in that game. And so, I mean, and they're just hard to prepare for, right? I mean, we all know right. the Paul Johnson stuff. And so, at the same time, I think, you know, it's not like they've looked like world beaters this year. So, Carolina, you know, we talked about it when we reviewed last week or the last couple weeks. I mean, Carolina's been – in the last 3 games, they didn't really have like a great chance of beating Virginia, but the Virginia Tech game, the Syracuse game, those were 2 very winnable games with minutes to go. And so you'd like to think that at some point these, call them 50-50 games or somewhat evenly matched games, you'd like to think that Carolina is going to have a shot at winning one of those. And, you know, maybe that happens against Georgia Tech. Now, I mean, our run defense has not been great this season, so that's maybe not what you want. Maybe you don't want to see Georgia Tech come to town, but I don't know. I mean, like I said, I mean, with 4 games left, we don't have there's not much confidence in anything football related. But I guess it could be worse. I mean, we could be playing Miami again, or we could have Clemson come to town. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same place with the Duke-Miami game because I look at Miami and they've obviously been the most successful when they've been able to turn teams over. Duke hasn't really turned the ball over much. And their struggle has been getting off the field, excuse me, on defense and stopping offenses who have a dynamic playmaker that can take advantage of a banged up secondary. I think Miami is that kind of team, depending on what their quarterback play is like. But I haven't seen Miami line up and just beat a team, right? Like even the North Carolina game, take away the turnovers and it's a pretty even game for the most part. Surratt had one of the worst games I've ever seen, which certainly contributed to the final score there. But who knows with that game? I think one thing that's a little bit disappointing, talking about pulse of the fan base, is there's been a lot of talk about, oh great, Duke's got to go face a pissed off Miami team that's looking to bounce back. I don't know why Duke can't have that same mentality, and I don't think they do. I don't think they've got that killer instinct right now where they can right the ship quickly. And as much as I hate to say this, I think it's more likely that Duke doesn't win a game for the rest of the year than it does for Duke to string together one or two wins out of the remaining games. Wow. I don't know how you fix not being able to tackle on defense. It's not a schematic thing. It's not an effort thing. And there was some technique, a lot of bad angles being taken in that pit game, but it just feels like, and again, you look past couple of years, Duke's done the same thing. They lose a game, and before you know it, they've lost four or five in a row. They don't just lose one, right? They lose four or five in a row. Maybe they turn it around by the end of the season. Maybe they don't. But I would be shocked if I had to rank three, right? I think State's going to have an easy time against Florida State because I think they are terrible. I think North Carolina's got a fighter's chance against Georgia Tech. And I think Miami's probably going to roll through Duke just because I don't think Duke can stop those playmakers.
I think all three win this week. I really do. I think NC State, Carolina, and Duke win this week. When I look at Miami, I'm asking what playmakers, to be honest with you. I mean, they've scored 13 and 14 the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
And again, to be fair, both were on the road. But even the game before that against FSU, I didn't really think they looked good that game. They found a way to win because FSU pretty much, I think they turned it over three times in the red zone in Miami, in their own 20 to give Miami, life. But I just, is Duke really, drastically worse off right now defensively than they were at Georgia Tech? And maybe they are a few weeks back. I mean, I don't know where they are injury-wise, but I thought that game, and again, I know they've had their number against Georgia Tech, but I think to hold Georgia Tech to 14, you got to be able to put together a pretty good performance. And I just don't know if Miami's got enough work with the struggles they're having at quarterback right now. I think Duke can go down there and do enough offensively because you're right, they don't turn the ball over. And I think they can do enough offensively to pull out that win. And then for Carolina, I mean, me and Davis talked about it already. I think they're close, so close to winning a game that eventually you're going to get one to go your way. Virginia Tech, they gave that game away on the fumble at the goal line. I mean, if Michael Carter scores, they've got a win there. I thought, NC State played Clemson at 3:30 and the UNC-Syracuse game, I think, was at 12 that weekend. And I turned the game to Clemson, NC State, thinking Carolina had won or was winning, was going to win it.
Right.
Because I think they were up 7 with 3 or 4 minutes to go, and they had the ball when I turned it. And they end up losing that game. And I just think at some point, one of those are going to go your way. And I can't trust Georgia Tech with anything. So I personally, maybe I'm the only one in the minority that thinks, I think all three teams can get a win this week, which is something we need after the last two.
I never trust Georgia Tech in either way though. I like if I am sure they're going to win, they lose. And if I'm sure they're going to lose, they win. And right. So, you know, but I mean, this, you can make the same argument with Carolina. Well, you can make the argument with Carolina, just like you're sure they're going to lose. And but then it's like Carolina does just enough to give you hope, right? I mean, even in the Virginia game last weekend, down 10, but have the ball with a chance to, you're thinking, all right, well, if we score on this drive with, you know, whatever, 10 minutes left, now we suddenly got a chance again. And I mean, it didn't actually pan out in that one, but, I guess if I was ranking them, I would say, you know, State obviously has the best chance of winning this week. Then I would say Carolina. Maybe I'm just having horrible flashback nightmares to when Carolina played down there. But I mean, I think there's a huge difference between playing Miami at noon and Miami at 7, and Duke has them at 7. And so,
yeah,
I mean, if you can, I mean, really, I mean, yeah, Carolina fell apart because of the turnovers. And so if Duke can avoid the turnovers, I guess they have a chance, but I mean, I wouldn't put any money on them. Despite what the last few weeks have looked like for both teams, I just think that at some level, at least against Carolina, I mean, Miami was just faster. They were just a step faster on everything. And so maybe that was just Carolina had a bad day or whatever, but I'd have a hard time thinking that Duke, not that they have no chance, but I just don't think they have a strong chance this weekend.
I'm just ready to get through that game because Duke Kentucky is the following Tuesday and we can start talking basketball. That's what I'm looking forward to. No, I just, you know, I it's hard to say with Duke what their problem is. They've got good enough players. They've got good enough coaching. It's, again, if you can't tackle, you can't win football games. And I think looking back to that Georgia Tech game that James brought out, it's a good question, because even 7 of those 14 points were in garbage time, and Duke tackled great in that game. They had a lot of, you know, plays behind the line of scrimmage. They stopped Georgia Tech. There's nothing more frustrating, and Dave, I don't envy you at all that you're going to have to go through this weekend. There's nothing more frustrating than playing Georgia Tech and having them like 3rd and 5, because you're thinking in your mind, like, all right, you just got to hold them on this play. And then they pick up like 2 yards and then it's 4th and 3. And then you just know, like, you just know, okay, he's going to go for it and they're going to get it. Like, you get it. So you feel like you've won on 1st and 2nd down when you hold them to 5 yards, and then you just realize, like, oh, they're going to go for it and they're going to, you know, get 2.5 yards of play and get this first down. But, you know, Duke did a good job stopping them on 3rd and 1, 4th and 1 a few times. And against Virginia and Pitt, there were so many times where it was 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. They get a hand on somebody 2-3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and then they get the first down. Or, you know, in some cases they break it and it's a, you know, 20-30 yard gain. I don't know where the tackling's gone, and I don't know how to fix it. So it's hard for me to find any kind of level of confidence about that team right now. Any concerns about Florida State, James, before we move on?
I think so. I mean, I'm surprised you guys are automatically chalking that up as a win.
They're bad.
They are. But I do think you still, as an NC State team, you are coming off a 2-game losing streak. And for them, I mean, unlike, I think, Duke and UNC this year, I mean, this is really the first time they've had to kind of face any adversity. And so you don't really know how they're going to handle it. And, I mean, I think FSU still has some talent. I do think NC State's probably just a little too explosive for them. And I think State's a different team at home, probably like most of these teams. I mean, you look at how they played defensively at home. They held, you know, BC to 16 points and Virginia to 16 points, which is really good. And so I think they probably have enough. But again, I think the question mark's going to be, are they going to be there mentally, because they are kind of facing, you know, that the first real adversity they've had to kind of face this year. But You're right. I mean, I would think if I'm having to put these games in order, I would have to say, just given where the programs are right now, you know, NC State versus FSU and then the other two games, I mean, I would say State's probably got the best chance to get a win this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not saying State has 100% chance.
Right,
I'm just saying that it's better. It's better than Duke and Carolina's
chances. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, I just still wonder. You know, this is one of those spots where I think if you were an NC State fan looking at their schedule, this was always coming into the year the hardest part of their schedule at Clemson, at Syracuse, and then FSU. Now, we didn't know FSU was going to be this bad, but I don't think anyone thought. I didn't think Syracuse would be 6-2. To be honest with you. So, but I think it's kind of played out that way. And now it's a matter of, can you get that win after the two game losing streak? You know, last year they faced the same thing when they'd lost to Notre Dame and Clemson, and they were able to go on the road and win at Boston College. And so can this team kind of do the same thing? Can it end that streak at two and really kind of get some momentum? I think that's big, maybe the bigger question for NC State more so than just where FSU is right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think your point about it being kind of mental is a good one, right? I mean, Syracuse is a good team, right? And so, I mean, I'm not going to say that Clemson beat them twice. But I mean, you could kind of, well, I mean, the first quarter was not good for State, right? I mean, so you could say that they had some hangover from the Clemson game. You don't now want to go into Florida State and have that same thing happen, especially if, I mean, Let's say they do lose to Florida State. Now you're looking at Wake Forest coming to town. I don't know. Does State struggle with Wake at home to the same degree that they do on the road, or is that just like a Winston-Salem curse?
That's a Winston-Salem. That's a Winston-Salem curse right there. I mean, they've done well against Wake at home. I believe under Dave. I don't think they've lost to them in Raleigh yet. But again, I mean, Wake's another team kind of similar to Syracuse offensively who, I mean, if you can't stop, I mean, Syracuse's passing game, I mean, look, I don't want to use the Louisville game as an example. I mean, I have no clue what either team was doing in that game. I mean, I don't know what's more surprising, Wake scoring 56 or Louisville scoring 35 or whatever it was. I was like, whoa. But, yeah, I mean, I think Wake's obviously got enough offense to come in there and at least put a scare in you.
And then Carolina, I mean, you know,
yeah,
there's at least 5% chance Carolina could beat State. So, I mean, you got that to be afraid of in like 4 weeks.
Right.
I think the thing that's probably most fun for me this weekend, looking ahead to the three triangle teams playing, is the heat that would be on the opposing coach if they lost.
Right.
You know, I just feel like Georgia Tech fans are looking for a reason to be mad at Paul Johnson, even though I would not ever move away from that, because moving away from the option is a 2-3 year process, I think. And no one's going to do the option better than Paul Johnson. But he's been on the hot seat for the past, 2-3 years at least, that talk's come up. So if he loses that game, he's in trouble. Mark Richt, if he loses to Duke, there are going to be a lot of questions about what the hell's going on in Miami. And then obviously we already talked about Taggart and what he's facing there. I think our three programs here in the Triangle have an opportunity to put some heat outside of our area on some pretty good football programs and maybe earn an upper hand in the future by getting a coach out of there. Who knows?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of – it seems like there's several – I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think at Pitt? Is there pressure on Narduzzi right now? I mean, obviously they won this weekend, but are they good? Like, what's going on? You know, I mean, Virginia Tech, I've got a couple of Virginia Tech buddies who they're looking at Fuente already, and they haven't looked good. You know, for the most part. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's something that's kind of going across the league. I really don't know at Wake Forest what the pulse is with Clawson. I imagine he's fine, I would think, but and then clearly Petrino. So,
yeah,
I mean, Petrino, you know, that one's again, what do you guys think on him? I mean, obviously this is his first down year at Louisville, but it is so bad that, you know, with Brom having and his connections at Purdue, I mean, I know some people are talking about him. I mean, do you think Petrino's on the hot seat?
I think he is. I mean, just the ACC is bad this year, and it's not the outside of Clemson. I'll give Clemson that they're looking like a pretty good football team right now. But the ACC is just not very good, and I think it's hard to swallow. And so I think a lot of that anger might be displaced on some football coaches. And, you know, maybe I guess you could easily point to it's their job not to be bad. But you look at Petrino, you know, losing the quarterback that they had there for the last couple seasons, that, you know, once in a lifetime kind of talent. It's hard to keep up with that kind of stuff. But it is bad. It's gotten to the point where it's they're probably the worst team in the ACC, I would say.
Yeah, I don't even think it's close, in my opinion. I mean, just when you go and look at what they've done in the league, you know, scored 3 at Virginia, lost to FSU, lost by 35 at home to Georgia Tech, lost by 18 at BC, lost by 21 at home to Wake. I mean, if you're Petrino and you're, you know, I mean, Louisville's a program that their fans expect a lot of. I mean, you know, high donor in terms of, you know, funds. I mean, you're selling a 21-point home loss to Wake Forest. I mean, yeah, it's. I think they're clearly, in my opinion, the worst team in the ACC. They're just not even really competitive right now.
Guys, I mean, at some level, is every coach across college football, is every coach perpetually, with the exception of a couple, just one season away from being on the hot seat? I mean, is that where we are?
Well, the one for me, and I mean, I'd like to hear Ben's like, I don't think there's ever really seems to be a sense of a hot seat for Cutcliffe. You know, at least. And again, I don't know the pulse of Duke fans. I'm just kind of relaying it more so on, you know, what I see on Twitter or anything like that, just from a lot of maybe like local media. I mean, when Duke has a loss or a bad loss, I mean, I don't ever really see anyone kind of questioning Cutcliffe. And so,
yeah, it's there among like hardcore fans, but
okay,
that's like 12 people. So I don't think, you're never going to get the volume where it's noticeable enough that there's going to be that kind of pressure. And I think, again, Duke is that kind of program that would forever ask itself, who could we get that's better than this? And the answer is going to be nobody. You know, it's not so much that he's earned the right to not be questioned. Because he's definitely questioned by you know, real fans that get into it. It just comes down to that question of, okay, if we got rid of Cutcliffe, who would we bring in? And two things are against them. One, it's Duke football, and it's a tough sell. Two, David Cutcliffe is probably the most – and I don't feel like this is a statement of hyperbole in any way. I think he is the most well-respected coach in college football among his peers, right? So I think if you look at Duke and they fire David Cutcliffe, who is taking that job? Because, you know, everybody seems to think the world of Cutcliffe, and if he can't win enough at Duke to keep his job, who's taking that risk to come to
Europe? You're looking at a Ruffin McNeil situation, right?
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I never really thought about it like that, but that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think it's kind of like one of those twofold questions, whereas maybe you're not totally happy with the results, but you can also look into the future and see what the possible results could be if you do make that move, and it's probably not any better. And I think Duke's clearly, obviously, competitive in their division right now and pretty much every year, and that's kind of, I mean, I think that's what you can ask for, what you want to ask for, or want to see, you know, is at least be competitive. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of makes a lot of sense.
So yeah,
we still have the potential for, I think, every team, every coastal team to finish 4-4.
Yep.
At least we had it going into this weekend. I don't know if it still exists or not.
I think it's still out there. I think the results this weekend made it possible that everybody could be 4-4. Which would be great. I'll beat this drum forever. The coastal gets such a bad rap because there's not that clear cut Clemson, right, or going back to the dominant Florida State team, but everybody is bad. Like, if you want to make fun of the coastal, that's fine. Because if you're not wearing orange and white, you really got no leg to stand on this year in the ACC. And I know we came in, and James will likely disagree with this. I know we came in thinking that State had an opportunity to move forward, but just looking through the historical numbers of our three programs here locally, that next step is so difficult to take. And it's got nothing to do with Doran or Finley or either recruiting. State is obviously doing a great job on that front, and they're getting better. But to get to that point where you're consistently at that, 9, 10, 11 win or even 12 win level, that's just unheard of here. Again, it's and I'll go back and look at the stats. It's less than 10 times in the past. I think it was 40, maybe even 50 years that it's happened between the three schools here in the Triangle area. And it's just so far away for us, and it sucks to think about it because I really like college football and I love our area, obviously, but I just think we're so far away.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree. And I think that's that was actually my column from last week with NC State. Was just funny because even with this loss, if State found a way, and again, I hate to say went out, but I mean, you got five games left against teams who I think they're combined. I forget what it was, but you look at FSU, UNC, Louisville, Wake Forest, ECU on the schedule now. I mean, there's not a lot of wins between all of those teams. And if State did win out, I mean, they'd win 10 games for the second time in program history.
Right.
Which is kind of what you're talking. So while, yeah, the ACC may be down and everybody's looking at NC State like they're not any good now, if this team goes 10-2, you accomplish something at NC State. I mean, 9-3, you're accomplishing something. I mean, I think 9 regular season wins, I believe that's only happened 4 times at NC. So it kind of speaks to the state of, like you said, the tradition of at least at NC State, and I'd imagine UNC and Duke are kind of similar. But, it's hard. And especially to do it, like you said, to do it consistently. I mean, I'd like to know how many teams in college football have won, and I'm sure we don't know this. I'm just kind of rhetorical questions asking. I mean, how many teams in college football have won 9 or more games 5 straight years? And I wouldn't be surprised if we could probably count that number maybe on one hand. To win 9, because I don't think it's easy, for a lot of programs to do that. You look at Auburn right now; they're struggling. Texas has had down years. I mean, LSU's had down years. They fired a coach. Florida. Tennessee, I mean, Georgia, I mean, a lot of these teams have at least a year or two where you don't have that consistent 9, 10, 11 win season. And I think you're right. I think it's just extremely hard to get there. And I don't know if we can predict anybody doing it, in my opinion, locally, just because of the difficulty of it.
I mean, it's hard to be consistently elite. And I mean, I think you would say, like, if a school wins 9 games 5 years in a row, like that's elite for at least those 5 years, right? And I mean, it's hard to get to that level in any sport. I mean, and here locally, I mean, say what you will, I mean, this is just, it's a basketball area, and you're gonna have a hard time doing it in football. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just, even going back to the Cutcliffe, like, if he left, like, who would Duke get that would be better? I mean, you can make the same argument for Carolina, right? I mean, if Fedora goes away, what are you going to do? You're just going to go find another Fedora, right?
Another Fedora.
That maybe pans out, but probably doesn't pan out. And so,
because they're sure as hell not going to go get another Butch Davis.
Exactly. I mean, you tried that once, and even it didn't pan out, right? And so now you feel like you've been burned, and but I mean, even then, Butch Davis never won 9 games. I think he won 8 games. I was there for them. I know they didn't technically happen. according to the NCAA, but
no. We promised each other that we honor all vacant here, right. Tripartisan. Yeah.
I might have 7 basketball ones coming pretty soon. So be ready to honor those guys.
anything to close before we wrap this one up?
No, I mean, for me, just like, hey, let's get a win this week. Everybody needs one.
Let's get a win.
So you said we could start talking basketball next week or the next week?
No. Next podcast, we can start talking basketball. Next podcast,
yeah. Great. Looking forward to it.
Yes. All right, everyone, what you've been doing the last 2 weeks, do the opposite this weekend, and let's see if we can get a win. I am Ben Swain. As always, James Henderson, Dave Staley, we are the Tripartisans, and we will see you next time.
You've been listening to the Tripartisan Podcast with Ben Swain, James Henderson, and David Staley. We hope you enjoy this show every week during the ACC football and basketball season. Our 3 insiders will have another installment next week on all the football and basketball happenings with Duke, NC State, and Carolina. Don't forget you can download and listen to this podcast at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or subscribe to it in iTunes and Google Play stores.